Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I am your very gracious host, as always, Zane. And today's episode, I'm going to do another episode to of Games for the Memories, much like the first episode. But before I continue, I just want to say, every time you guys listen to a episode of my podcast, you're slowly but surely helping me out through small revenues from Anchor. So say, for example, if you listen to this podcast with the sponsorship, that's one revenue. If you listen to another one, that's another revenue. So slowly but surely, you can actually help me out extremely big through these types of, I'm going to say, donations through listening to the podcast. So later on, if we try to make it to like at least like over $100, maybe we could try to make this podcast into a full-fledged one. So fingers crossed, guys. Let's do it. So there is two games I want to talk about that have a very similar idea in terms of gameplay-wise, mechanics, and overall idea. And these are two types of games that I grew up with as a child. And I wouldn't make fun of me, but also growing up as a child, I neither completed neither of the two. One I did kind of complete today, or recently, I should say, kind of. But besides just that, these two games I'm talking about are both SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom and SpongeBob Save the Crown, the game, or the video game, based off the movie. Now, these are two games that are completely different, but they are so similar in terms of mechanics and gameplay idea of having a Banjo-themed collect-a-thon game that it's almost impossible to kind of tell them apart. Whereas SpongeBob Save the Crown kind of does have a little bit of a different idea to it in terms of gameplay-wise and what it has to offer. But either way, they're extremely nearly similar to the other. So let's go over SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom first, shall we? Battle for Bikini Bottom was basically, I want to say, probably my first game for the Xbox original, alongside with other games like Godzilla and Tack, I would have to say. But I can't remember the rest since memory is kind of a little bit fuzzy right now about what other games I had as a kid. But either that, Battle for Bikini Bottom was pretty much my favorite. My siblings and I would always have to fight for over who gets to play as SpongeBob, Patrick, or Sandy, and who gets to play. And that was probably one of the reasons why I never actually completed the game as a kid. Because my siblings and I, we would always fight over who gets to play, and every time when we did get to play, we would always make a new game, and we would have to literally start all the way over from there. For somewhat good reasons, too, because some of the bosses that weren't the robot ones, like SpongeBob, Patrick, and Sandy, they were a literal one and done. So you can't literally go back to their boss rooms and fight them again. Once you fight them and defeated them, they're down for good. So yeah, that's one of the reasons. But ever since I got the remastered version, or as it's called, the rehydrated version, I managed to complete the entire game and holy smokes, nothing has changed about it. Besides the graphics and the dank May maze it has to offer, the same gameplay value is still there. The whole entire experience of playing SpongeBob Rehydrated was a literal breath of fresh air for me. Because literally, some games I feel today, they try to be too cinematic. Like, for example, ever since Last of Us 2 came out, it's somehow, I just want to say this really quickly. Somehow I've been hearing rumors that people literally bought the game on day one, and the next day they literally were trying to return it. I just guess that some people, like the paid journalists, rather have a game where mocap sex scenes happen instead of an actual good game. But I did hear some other good things about The Last of Us 2. But really, the game did have a, I want to say, a pretty extremely good launch. Not only in terms of gameplay mechanics, but overall popularity. The game has a lot to offer. It has a ton of different levels you can go into across Bikini Bottom. You can go into Jellyfish Fields, you can go into the sea, you can go into the kelp forest, Gula Lagoon, Rock Bottom, and so on. It is a game to experience for me. But let's get into some of the other details about the game, which is the gameplay mechanics. So for SpongeBob, he's basically like, I want to say, the multitude class kind of character, because he it's best to say what he's not able to do. So he's able to like do a basic spinning attack, he could do an uppercut attack, and he's able to do like a slam pam attack. And later on, when you defeat the first robot boss, you unlock the ability to do bubble bowls. So basically, when you press any of the B or else, no, if you press B or whatever else you're playing on for that attack, you basically do a charged up bowling ball attack, and that could ram into enemies and basically be a small distance attack for you for some enemies as well. Some enemies in the game actually do go down in one shot when you use the attack. And when you defeat Robot Patrick, you unlock the arguably the best attack ever, the bubble torpedo attack. And this lets you basically remote control a bubble torpedo with limited time to spare. But the downside of that attack is you leave yourself wide open for other attacks. So yeah, probably not the best choice there. But for other characters like Sandy or Patrick's basically the character that is able to carry other objects and do like a stunning attack to pick up enemies. And the basic like belly flop attack too and belly bounce attack. Whereas Sandy's a little bit different. She's actually probably my most favorite character to play out of the entire game because she's able to do like a gliding ability and able to like catch onto these conveniently placed Texas symbol badges floating in the air, grab onto them, swing herself across from each one to each one, and able to also one-shot enemies by lassoing them up and just making them blow up, and that's probably the best thing of all. And not only that, folks, but the game has a lot of different missions for you to do and side missions to collecting a assortment amount of what's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, that's right. Spatulas. Golden spatulas, of course. And some of these missions could be either like helping Mrs. Puff find certain steering wheels, or helping her find missing children in the kelp forest, or helping them get out of the sky from balloons at Goo Lagoon, and others more. Even Patrick himself, even though he's a playable character, has missions for you to help him find his missing socks, which, when you think about it, I never saw him wear a sock before, but besides just that, that's another thing you could do. And it's basically where to not find a mission to help get you a golden spatula. The total amount of spatulas you can collect are over 100. So not only that, you could also buy spatulas from Mr. Krabs, greedy bastard. But besides just he's not the only one. You could also complete these certain types of dream missions to also collect your own spatulas. Basically, it does fall into the category of a collectathon game, and the enemies are also fun to go against because when it's just so satisfying again to like hit them and you see them explode and you collect these little like a type of flower types of shards once they explode and it is just a refreshing thing to experience all over again. It does get tiring, however, because when you're trying to find, if you're like some people who would try to go for like a 100% completion idea of collecting all of the golden spatulas, it can be pretty tedious at times. That was probably one of the reasons why I couldn't complete the game the first time when I was a kid, because of how tedious it can be. Where you could be like, oh, where is this one guy? Or where is this steering wheel? Or Patrick, damn it, you need a drawer for your socks. It is pretty much like that. But there's also a couple things that the game does bug me with. For example, with SpongeBob's attack animation. I could have sworn when I was a kid that spin attack he normally does when you press the basic attack button spins him a little bit faster than it does now. Same goes with like the robots, like their sleek, clean designs they had in the original is replaced for, I want to say, a little bit of more of like a junkier type of style, especially with the first robots you've seen. But nothing to complain about. The designs are all right. It's just the robot designs I have an issue with, especially the robot Patrick one. In the original, he just seemed so menacing. And especially where the camera angle is like looking up at him and you just like see him licking his ice cream of acid. That was menacing to me as a kid. But looking at the redesign now, it just comes to me a little bit silly, honestly. Like, Patrick can be menacing if he wants to. And this design of his really doesn't speak out his whole menaced. Instead, it kind of shows that how much of a doofus he is now in the cartoon. The Sandy Bot also kind of bugs me more, because in the original, she would normally have like this type of slow 1-2 tap of her elbow before she does a slam attack. But now it's just like a quick 1-2 and then slam. I don't know, it's just the little things that bug me. But there is another thing that bugs me about the game, is with the explosions. So for those of you who don't know, some of the boxes that you can basically break are inspired by tikis. And one of these types of tikis are a thunder-themed tiki. And if you get too close of it, it would have a threatening aura around it, showing that it's about to explode. And when it does, you could be able to get caught in the blast radius and damage yourself. And the same goes for the robot duplication machines. Once you hit them, they pretty much like would bend over and then explode. However, I don't know why, but when you do hit either the machine or the tiki, it is extremely hard to basically figure out what the blast radius is. For the tikis, it's pretty much simple, like a small blast radius, and for the machines, it's a big blast radius. But for the tikis in the newer version, it is almost invisible for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know if it's been rushed for like a deadline or something, but really it has bugged me in certain levels, and it really has came across as annoying too. Although the game does have a ton of replay value to it. It has held up from today, and it's really something what you could do when you just decide to play a game that's pretty much what it is, just a little bit prettier. And it shows that you don't need to have a game with a extremely big story to be like, oh, you know what? Why don't I just play? No. No. I meant to say is it shows that the game does have more replay value, even though it was from the 2005 to 2020, and it could still be able to be played today as much as many other AAA game titles. Sorry, folks, I might be jambling on a bit of my speeching here, but besides just that, let's take a break for this sponsor and then go into the next game. And we are back. Okay, so pretty much SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom was the golden age of a SpongeBob game. SpongeBob Save the Crown was pretty much like, I kind of want to say it's that one game that's still good, but it does have its extreme flaws to it. But it's still good, and it kind of doesn't want to be good, and it kind of is. It's just, I don't know, folks. It's kind of hard to describe. So basically, the idea of the game does follow the story of the movie, obviously, because it's a movie video game. Now, sometimes movie video games do have their own kind of je ne sais quoi to them. Sometimes it could be bad that they're good, or they could just be bad that they're, well, bad. Enough explained there, right? overall, the game does have a lot more features than most movie games do, and it's completely a really good and fun game still. Now, granted, it's another game that I haven't completed. Now, when you may be thinking to yourself, holy smokes, you haven't completed that game either? Huh, noob. Yeah, I know. I literally tried to complete the game a while ago, but I eventually quit because of how flippin' teasing it was. And you'll see why in a little bit. So let's get off to gameplay mechanics. The gameplay mechanics are basically similar as much as the last one, where instead of having Sandy, it's now two characters, limiting it to SpongeBob and Patrick. They both have basic spinning attacks, and they both have their own unique abilities. SpongeBob, to begin with, has this basic spinning attack. He could be able to jump on walls, like in the first game, which I forgot to mention, like a Dingus Dongus. And he could be able to also do an uppercut attack. I believe he could also do a feet slam attack. And not only that, he also has like a guitar laser cannon attack, which pretty much acts similar to the original torpedo attack and a bowling ball attack. Whereas Patrick is a little bit different. He does have the same abilities as much as the last one, where he's able to pick stuff up, but he also has the ability to sub into Sandy's swinging ability by sticking his tongue on these conveniently placed air icicles for some reason underwater. Did they even have actual air in water? Because this is kind of concerning to me. But besides, instead of going into complete logistics here, folks, let's continue. Not only that, but Patrick's also able to do like this cartwheel attack that can help break down barriers and run into enemies like no tomorrow. He is also able to do a slam attack as well. And much like the slam attack, it's also able to stun enemies so you can pick them up and throw them at each other. Now, the enemies are kind of different too. Instead of having robots, some of them could be relying on like belting attacks or having their dogs spin them around in circles, fly around and literally shoot loogies at you, or just have a broom, a crowbar, or anything. Sorry, or anything of the sorts to slam them into you. But instead of the robots, they're basically like patrons to brainwash patients, to the Goofy Goober workers, to monsters, or so on. It's basically a complete change-up in the idea that Pat, not Patrick, Plankton is taking over the world because of it. And really, you are very limited into area ideas than the first one. That's its first flaw. Where instead of having to go to level to level to level, the original lets you have a choice of going into multiple different places by just going into the hub world, which was basically spun outside Bikini Bottom. So you could be able to go into like downtown, the Jellyfish Fields, or Rock Bottom, or even the Sand Slopes, as that matter. This one, it kind of takes you to the story or the levels taking place in the movie. Like at first, you're in a SpongeBob's dream, then you're in the Goofy Goob's cabin or place, whatever. Then the desert with the two laughing Billy Bobs, and so on. And really, even though that it may not be the town of Bikini Bottom, it's still kind of actually unique to see. It actually does give a more, I want to say, in-depth idea than the original game did. Because you're, instead of just like looking at the same place, you're actually looking at multiple different places at once. And to me, that kind of does feel a little bit more unique. And another thing I want to point out that the game does do a little bit different than the original is you're able to collect dumbbells. And at the upper right, I believe it was, there's like this type of bar. And every time that bar is filled, there's going to be a yellow star with a P on it. Now, this is where it gets interesting, folks, because unlike the original game, you actually have the option to upgrading anything on the characters. So, say for instance, you are able to upgrade their lives, right? So they could be able to take more of a hit. Whereas in the original, you would have to find these golden spatulas, their gold SpongeBob's golden underwear to increase your life. This one lets you at least able to literally purchase the way of upgrading SpongeBob or Patrick. Sometimes their attacks can be changed in different ways. For example, SpongeBob's bowling ball attack could be able to have an AoE attack after throwing it, or when it hits something, or if you do it automatically. So it's basically like a lamb bomb. Patrick's AoE also does have a small AoE to knock out enemies when he does a belly flop attack. And not only that, when he grabs stuff now, he's able to literally launch them at enemies from afar, dealing them damage as well. So that's always a nice thing to have it, or to keep in mind at least. And this is where one thing that the game does get annoying with is with its collectability. It does have different types of collectibles out there in the game, and instead of collecting golden spatulas, you're collecting them Goofy Goober tokens. Because we're all Goofy Goobers down here. And Mindy is pretty much the person on your shoulders and trying to say, SpongeBob, Patrick, you gotta hurry. Despite the fact you have to literally fighting enemy after enemy and going boss after boss just to get to ride on David Hasselhoff's back and him shooting you down into Bikini Bottom. And really, that is probably the biggest downside. Not the boss, the Goofy Goober tokens. Whereas in SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom, you do have an option to going into any level as long as you have a certain amount of golden spatulas. Whereas in this one, you have to have a certain amount of Goofy Goober tokens to proceed into the level to unlock an ability. And when you think about it, you're like, wait a minute, what? Because in the original, I pretty much stated that SpongeBob basically unlocks new abilities once you defeat a specific boss. This one, it's basically microtransactions before they were microtransactions. And not only that, the game also had these types of racing levels that could also be done, either in the paddy wagon or through a bathtub, a shell, or even Neptune's crown itself. And really, they could be summed up in two ways. Annoying, unnecessary, and absolutely hibbity-bibbity bullshit. Because these are basically those types of levels that you're like, I don't want to do them, but I have to even proceed to unlocking that ability and to getting through the level. Because when I first thought that I could basically get through the level of just by myself, no, I need to have this ability to get through the level. And to me, that was the biggest downside of the game, because you just can't explore a small area or a small proportion of the level. No, you need to have the ability to even roam in the level, to even encounter certain things or to do certain things that you can't be able to do by yourself. And it is really, really annoying and extremely frustrating. And not only that, the steering for like the... But while I'm on the topic of the racing parts of the game, the paddy wagon, I remember, was an absolute annoying thing to deal with, because you'll feel like you had these tight turns you can't really turn by yourself, and you like need help of a friend to actually help you make these turns. And even it's stupid because there are types of segments you could do in these paddy wagon levels that you need to go through rings and you need to do the beat the time frame, right? And it is really stupid because you would literally be at a ring when it's turning red. And if you miss it, and if it turned red, and if it's disappeared, you automatically lose that level. It is frustrating. Whereas some of the sliding down levels are even more annoying, because you have a little bit more freedom to it. You have to do, like, these beat-the-time levels, or these also ring levels as well. Whereas going down the slopes, so it's a little bit more smoother and a little bit the controls feel a little bit more better than the paddy wagon. But even though, it's kind of annoying because you have a certain amount of time frame to get through the dang level to unlock this damn ability to get the damn Goofy Goober token. Ay, they. And much like the original, or the battle for Bikini Bottom, you also have like these weird dream segments where you could be able to go through each of them and be able to get a Goofy Goober token at the end of them. Sometimes they are timed, sometimes they are not. And another thing about the game was that you have these other types of weird levels that you basically survive wave after wave of specific enemies. Even some enemies you may have not seen or may have seen in the game, some of them do convey to survive the attacks, do not die, that's about it. And the game does suffer from the idea that you can't proceed unless if you have this many Goofy Goober tokens. That was probably the biggest reason why I haven't completed the game. Because I remember Mindy would always be like, oh yeah, you can go through the level, and you do have a certain amount of Goofy Goober tokens, but you're just one short. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, damn it, Mindy! Why are you doing this to me? And really, I remember back in the day when I was playing the game, I would be frustrated of trying to beat these types of dream levels, beating the type of ring levels and the time levels just to get more Goofy Goober tokens so I could proceed through the damn level. And at the end, it's literally not worth it. Whereas SpongeBob, you can be able to get through the levels as long as you have a certain amount of spatulas, but that one's a little bit more easier because you have other ways of collecting spatulas. As previously stated, like, you can literally buy them from Mr. Grabs, greedy bastard, or give them to give socks to Patrick, completing certain levels and objectives for certain characters in the game, beating Bubble Buddy or Larry the Lobster or Mrs. Puff down the slopes with their times, or so on and so forth. Like, you are not limited to going through a level, being stuck on the level, because you don't have that same damn ability you need. It is really stupid. And don't get me wrong, later on, once you do get a specific ability, you can be able to proceed more of what you miss in certain levels. Like, I remember in the Goofy Goober stage, if I'm correct, there's basically like a guitar theme stage that you could go on with SpongeBob once he unlocks the guitar ability, and you could basically try to unlock a more Goofy Goober tokens that way. But trust me, folks, at the end of the day, it is really not worth it. Also, furthermore, I'm not sure if anyone else experienced this, but I remember hearing a YouTuber say that a lot of his time when he was playing the game, that it did end up glitchy to him because he was playing it on a GameCube and some of the textures would like be replaced with something else, or sometimes it would just act on its own and act really weird for some reason. I never actually experienced that before on my game, but I'm pretty sure it has happened to a lot of people before. So that's today's podcast. So before I continue, I just want to thank for everyone who's been listening to the podcast. I also want to thank to my sponsors, Anchor, for sponsoring this podcast as well. And remember, if you want to support me, just listen to some of my previous episodes of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. And remember, folks, geek is fleek. Stay beautiful.